Welcome back to the Majestic Academy. If you are listening for the first time, after we're done, I recommend you go back to episode 1 and get the entire context of this great book. I'm J. Michael Edwards, your host for this series. Today, we partake on one of the most difficult portions of Scripture to understand in a lesson called Two Witnesses from Another World. But Pastor Don will do his best to break it down into little bite-sized pieces for us to chew on and digest. Let's listen in.
Thank you, J. Michael. You know, J. Michael does a great job, doesn't he? He's been very, very helpful, a real blessing as we've gone through this series on the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And I just appreciate what he does, and he's got the good announcer voice. I just appreciate that. Today, we're going to look at some very interesting portions of Scripture. And so let's get into this. I'm going to read from chapter 11, verses 3 through 14. So that's it's a few verses here. So sit back, get your Bible out. If hopefully you have your Bible with you and you can read along with me. This says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer the dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain men 7,000, and their remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Help me now to explain these verses in a way that would glorify you and understandable to our listeners here. We love you so much, and we praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this, as I believe J. Michael has already said, is Two Witnesses from Another World. And so we're still in a bit of a parenthetical pause of Scripture. God is describing a break in the action of this tribulation as he takes care of some heavenly business. As I mentioned in our last study, this is one of the most difficult passages in the Revelation to interpret. And there are two facts to keep in mind. Again, as I explained last time, we're on Jewish ground, and so the images and words are used in a Jewish nature, and we're dealing with events related to the future. The book of Revelation details future events. Any other interpretation destroys its meaning and purpose. In verses 1 and 2, we discover that a new Jewish temple will be built in Jerusalem. The Jews will consecrate a priesthood, and they will offer animal sacrifices as prescribed in the law of Moses. They will worship God under the old covenant, not recognizing the fact that Jesus shed his precious blood once for all to save the souls of humanity. The next vision we are given is of two special witnesses. God sends two ambassadors from heaven to preach his gospel message to the people in Jerusalem. It is these men and their ministry that we want to consider today. So I'd like to share the insights this passage gives us concerning these two witnesses from another world. And so we see the ministry in verses 3 through 7. We see how their ministry is designed. These two men are raised up for a special purpose. These two verses tell us much about these men and what they're sent to do. Firstly, they're called witnesses. This word translates the word that gives us our English word martyr. The word originally referred to someone who gave testimony about something, in other words, a witness. However, as so many Christians began to give their lives for the cause of Christ, the word came to be associated with those who gave their lives for their faith. These two men have come to witness to God's truth, and as we shall see, they will give their lives for him too. Secondly, they are sent as a team. God always has his witnesses. In the days before the flood, God had his Noah. In the dark days of idolatry in Israel, the prophet Elijah complained to the Lord that he was all alone in the fight against sin. God told Elijah that there were over 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal. In 1 Kings 19:14 through 18. So God has always had his witness teams, Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, Paul and Silas. God sends two witnesses because he wants the truth to be established. The law stipulated that matters had to be established by the word of two witnesses. And you can see this in Deuteronomy 19:15 and Matthew 18:16. I go out on Saturdays and witness, and I take a man with me. We go two by two. And so number three, they are sent to prophesy. What will be the context of their message? No one knows for sure, but I think they will stand outside the newly completed temple and preach Jesus to the Jews in Jerusalem. They will talk about how Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the type and symbols. They will tell of his death, his resurrection, and of his return. They will prove from the word of God that the temple and its worship are vain. They will preach the gospel of grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. They will tell the people that Antichrist will desecrate the temple. These men will be hated by Jew and Gentile because of their message that they will preach. Number four, they're going to be clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth is a type of mourning. These men will not come with a message of peace, comfort, and hope. They will bring a message of condemnation and judgment to a wayward people. Number five, their ministry will last for 3.5 years. While we cannot be too sure of when their ministry will begin, we can safely say that they will commence their preaching sometime after the temple is built in Jerusalem. And so they are described as olive trees and candlesticks. This is symbolic of God's hand on their ministry. The olive tree is a source of olive oil. It is often a type of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. These men are anointed by the Spirit of God for their particular ministry. The olive tree speaks of their unction, if you will. The candlestick speaks of their function. So unction is function. They will come to bring the light of God's message to a darkened world. And so let's look at how their ministry is defended in verse 5. Defended. How the ministry is defended. These two men will be extremely unpopular because of the message they have been sent to deliver. As a result, many will try to kill them, but these men are under divine protection. Everyone who tries to kill them will be killed by them. They will have the power to destroy their attackers with fire from their mouth. I want you to note that as long as you are in the Lord's will, you are invincible. He will keep his hedge of protection about you and keep you safe until it is time for him to take you home to glory. Until the Lord gets finished with you, no man and no devil can harm you. I do a lot of work in the prisons here. And I tell the guys in prison, look it, don't worry. As long as God is dealing with you and you are living for him, he will protect you. Don't worry about these guys with shivs or any other thing. You are invincible. And I get that from right here. Let's see how their ministry is described. These two men will be able to use miraculous signs to prove the authenticity of their message. They will be able to shut up the heavens as Elijah did. They will be able to turn water into blood and call down plagues from the heaven as Moses did. They will have immense power at their disposal, and they will be able to use it whenever they wish. Again, note, there are many modern preachers who claim to have the ability to perform miracles. The only problem with them is that they're liars. They are not healing or raising the dead. They are charlatans and hucksters who only care about getting their hands on the money of those deluded people who fall for their lies. These two witnesses, on the other hand, are the real deal. They will preach God's message and validate it with wonders and miracles. And before we move deeper into this passage, let's take a minute to talk about who these men might be. First, let me say that no one knows for sure, not even me. The Bible does not identify them, and no one can say with absolute certainty just who they are. But there are a couple guesses that I want to share, and the reasons why certain men are mentioned. It might be Moses and Elijah. That's the most common guess. And according to Malachi 4:5, Elijah will return before Jesus comes. John the Baptist fulfilled this prophecy according to Jesus. However, Malachi says that Elijah would come. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Again, that's Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Also consider that the fact that Elijah never died. And consider the fact that one of the miracles the two witnesses will perform will be the stopping of the rain. This was one of Elijah's miracles in 1 Kings 17. As for Moses, he is mentioned in Malachi 4:4, just before Elijah is mentioned in verse 5. The miracles performed by these two witnesses are reminiscent of those performed by Moses in Exodus. And it was Moses and Elijah who appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Some say it might be Enoch. Some people believe that it will be Enoch with either Moses or Elijah. Enoch was a preacher of righteousness in Jude 1:14, and Enoch never tasted death. You can see that in Genesis 5:24. We won't know who these guys are until they come. All that we really know is that God always has his witnesses. And then in verses 7 through 10, we see the massacre of the two witnesses. We see their reason for their deaths. When they have finished their appointed ministry, Antichrist will be allowed to kill them. Until that moment, they are protected by the hand of God and cannot be killed. We're told that they are killed by the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. This is a reference to the Antichrist. He is called the beast 38 times in the Revelation. He ascends out of hell itself, letting us know that he is demonically charged and controlled. He will make war against the witnesses, and he will be allowed to overcome them and kill them. We will learn more about him in coming weeks. Now there is a blessed nugget here for every saint of God. Death is not in the hands of man or the devil. Death is in the hands of God Almighty. He decides when people leave this world, and you cannot die until he says it's time. So many people live their lives in fear of death. They fail to grasp the truth that death is powerless against them until God severs the golden cord of life and allows death to claim the soul. There is, therefore, no need to fear men, armies, or devils. And don't fear COVID-19. Don't fear those who want to say they can close your church. No, don't fear any of that. You will not die until he says it's time, and you will not live a second longer when he says it is time to go. I'll tell you, I look forward to that time, but you can't fear me. You can't scare me with death. I'm not afraid of death. I don't want it to hurt, but I'm not afraid of it. I used to fly to the Middle East all the time, even during the Gulf War. And people, including my wife, would say, "Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid?" And I said, "Afraid of what? Afraid of death? Not really. Not my time. I don't want to go, but I'm not afraid of it." Anyway, enough of that. Verses 8 through 10 says that we see the reaction to their deaths. "The bodies of these men will be left in the very streets where they were killed. They will lay there in Jerusalem, and no one will remove their bodies or attempt to bury them." Verse 9 tells us that all the people of the earth will see this sight. 50 years ago, it was a mystery how this could happen. In our day, we see live events from around the world 24 hours a day. Satellite technology has made it possible for us to see what is happening on the other side of the world with less than 8 seconds delay in time. We watch the Olympics right now. The Summer Olympics in Japan are happening. We see every bit of that. You can watch it live if you want to watch it in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night. But we see that live from around the world. Not even a delay. There's no delay anymore. The cable news channels like Fox News, CNN, others, they will broadcast images of these dead prophets around the clock. And verse 10 tells us that the people of the earth will rejoice because these two men are dead. "For 3.5 years, these men have preached the gospel and caused plagues to be poured out on men. Now they're dead, and the world celebrates." They act as if it were Christmas time. They celebrate, they party, they exchange gifts because these men are dead. Now, why would they do this? The preaching of these two witnesses drove them crazy. We're talking about a world that rejected Jesus Christ and his blood. They have turned a deaf ear to Bible preaching. They have given their allegiance to the devil, and they do not want to hear about God. These men have been preaching the truth, and their message of judgment and condemnation got under the people's skins. Now they're dead, and the world throws a party. By the way, this is the only scene of joy on the earth during the whole tribulation. And they are happy because God's men are dead and God's message is silent. That's a tragedy. I'll tell you, that's a tragedy, but it's even happening today. Christians are being martyred around the world and people are happy. Think of 9/11. Think of 9/11. 3,000 people died in 9/11 and people rejoiced around the world. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Don't forget 9/11, by the way, but do you remember when there was dancing in the streets, when people died at 9/11? It'll be the same thing, only on a global scale. Now, for the record, the world will rejoice when this old-time Bible preaching is finally silenced. Now, they love the preaching of the crowd that exalts the flesh. They like that namby-pamby, milquetoast preaching that tells people that, you're okay. This world hates preaching that exalts Christ and demands holiness. This world hates preaching that stands on the Bible and says there is no other way. This world cannot stand preaching that closes the door of salvation to homosexuals, abortionists, murderers, and other sinners who won't repent of their sins and turn to Jesus by faith. This world hates preaching that magnifies Jesus as the only way to get to God. They will rejoice when it is gone. Then they can settle in and listen to the prophets of love and acceptance that floods their airways and be happy when they plug headlong into hell. That is where we are today, and things are just going to get worse as we approach the end of this thing. With this whole COVID-19 episode, people are sitting at home in their bunny slippers and their jammies, and they're watching milquetoast preachers on TV. No conviction, no repentance, nothing. Got the popcorn, got the soda, kicking back in the lounge chair. Like I say, in the bunny slippers and their jammies, and they're watching Joel Osteen on TV. Oh, did I say that? Oh. I should have said that, I guess. Sorry. So anyway, and then in verses 11 through 14, the miracle of the two witnesses. We see the miracle of the two witnesses. We see the miracle of their awakening. The bodies of these men are allowed to lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. The world has watched as their bodies turn blue. They pass through the various stages of rigor mortis, and they begin to bloat. Then, a strange thing happens. Those bodies begin to stir. The two witnesses stand on their feet, and the world begins to tremble in fear. Why does the world react in fear? The fact that these men are alive again after being dead for 3.5 days prove that they are the real deal. People know that they are men of God and that the message they have been preaching is true. Perhaps they understand that this is the work of God. Perhaps they have a brief moment in time when they understand that they are headed for judgment. Do you remember when you felt, how you felt when you watched those airplanes slam into the World Trade Center? Do you remember the anguish and the fear and the worry? Do you remember the feeling as though your world had just been upended? Imagine what these people will feel. There, in the midst of their celebration, they are interrupted by a resurrection. They'll watch it on live television. They will see it for themselves. They're interrupted by proof positive that God, not man, not Satan, not Antichrist, is really in control. Then we see verse 12, the miracle of their ascension. Then, while the world watches, the Lord God will reenact the rapture, and these two witnesses will rise up unto heaven. The world will see what it missed out on when Jesus came. Maybe they will comprehend in that moment of time what happened when millions of people disappeared in the rapture of the church. The world will be given a clear testimony of the power of God Almighty Himself. Satan, Antichrist, and lost man will be reminded that God's in control of the world and that all that happens in it, He's in charge. They'll be helpless to stop this resurrection and the rapture of these two witnesses. And we see the miracle of their avengement. Before the world can catch its collective breath, a great earthquake will hit Jerusalem. God judges the city which has denied Him and His Christ. A tenth part of the city will crumble to the ground and 7,000 people will die. We are told that the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. This probably refers to a remnant of the Jews. They see these events, they repent of their sins, and they call on Christ for salvation. God will use even these events to bring glory to His name. And so in verse 14, we're told that the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. More horrors are on the way. The worst is yet to come, and we are going to look into far more horrible things in these coming lessons. And so let me close with this thought. We think our world is in bad shape, and oh, how it is with all this nonsense going on. Masking up and quarantining and all of this. Now they're talking about another new strain. We talk about the wickedness of men, the hardness of human hearts, and the evil that flourishes all around us. But think about this. We are living in a world that is inhabited by the redeemed people of God. The Bible is here. And it is preached around the world. The Holy Spirit is here, suppressing evil and hindering its spread in the world. In the tribulation period, the church is gone. Don't let anybody else tell you. At the rapture, the church is taken up. The church is gone. So no one is praying for the world. The Bible will probably be taken out of circulation. It'll be burned. They'll all be burned. You can almost guarantee the fact that it won't be preached in power and authority. The Spirit of God will leave when the church leaves. The world, a world like that, will grow more evil than you and I can comprehend. I'm glad that I'm saved, and I'm not going to be here for those awful days. What about you today? Are you saved? Are you trusting Jesus as your personal Savior today? If not, you can be. If you have strayed away from him, you can come home today. If you have loved ones and acquaintances who will be left here for the horrors of the tribulation, you can at least pray for them, but don't just pray for them. Call them, visit them, tell them this is happening. Have them listen to this series. This stuff is real, folks. This is not allegorical. This is not some comic book. This is not some Tom Clancy or Clive Cussler novel. No, this is Bible, and this is real. And if you're not saved, you need to call upon Jesus to save you. You need to bow your head, confess your sins unto him, and ask him into your heart to take you to heaven when you die. But at the very least, at the very, very least, we need to call upon the Lord and ask him to send revival one more time, another great awakening. Pray for another great awakening. There's a multitude that needs to be saved. We need to be sensitive to that. Missionaries are coming home. Missionaries are dying. Fewer and fewer missionaries are going out. So let's ask our Lord and Savior to use us, to reach them before it is too late. Next time, we're going to finish up this chapter. It'll just be a few verses left in chapter 11, but they are powerful. Another woe is coming, and this one is gonna get nasty. Until then, keep looking up and listening for the shout.
Jay Michael back with you. I will hold Solo, George Lucas, Star Wars, Fame, Nick Love, Adam Ubi, Mike Wallen, Ryback, Lisa, Next Again, God gives us a compelling solo, could be holding the candle to the two-way action of the tribulation. Seriously though, I'm going to tell you, Jordan, the series with your friends and family. Very continue to encourage you to keep listening. Until then, keep looking up, like and share the series with your friends and family.
Unlike most every podcast out there, we get no financial reward from this series. Our satisfaction comes from the fact that we are preaching and teaching the Word of God and trying to educate and warn against the impending judgment of this world and its systems. See you next time in the Majestic Academy. Keep looking up and listening for the shout.